what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
Happy Friday. Thanks for tuning it into KDNK Express Yourself, airing each and every, Friday afternoon.
Whoa, it's Friday. Well, can you believe it?
Here on KDNK, your community access radio, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm one of your hosts today, joined by...
Well, his name is... say your name?
I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley.
Gosh.
Joined by...
You'd think he put on a festival last weekend. Amy Kimberly. And here on Express Yourself today... We feature all things arts and culture and creativity happening up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Here's what's coming up on the show today.
A little later on, we'll talk Mountain Fair with the Chief of Operations, Deborah Colley, a.k.a. my sister, and all the fun ways to get involved with that festival this summer.
And towards the end of the show, we've got local band Wild Flight coming in for a landing with singer-songwriters Eric Gross and Emily Jerk to chat about the band's performance and music video at the Crystal Theater next week.
But first, we've got some special guests here in the studio and on the phone to chat about a brand new art exhibition opening tonight at the Art Base in Basalt. And the title of this show is called Floral Panic.
Keep it tuned here for the next hour of Express Yourself, and don't touch that dial.
Thanks for keeping it here on Express Yourself. Let's see. We've got Sabrina Pearsall and Molly Altman here in the studio. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for being here. And I think we've got Alyssa at the Art Base on the phone. Are you there, Alyssa?
Yes, I am. Thanks
for having me. Did it. I didn't mess it up. Alyssa, where's my notes? I don't get your title wrong here. Alyssa, you're the Senior Communications Associate at the Art Base. Is that right?
I sure am.
Good. That's what it says in your email signature. Nailed it.
yep.
And Alyssa's going to tag along to give us some Art Base happenings towards the end of this interview. But I'd love to start with Molly and Sabrina. You have an opening tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Art Base in Basalt. And there's also an artist talk at 5:30. Is that right?
That is right.
Oh, boy. I'd love to hear how this show came about, Floral Panic. I want to talk about your art backgrounds and all that, but I have to ask about the title, Floral Panic. How'd that come about?
Well, we don't have a band just yet, but it does feel like a name.
It is a good band name. That's amazing.
That we might use for it. Well, at least we have a duo for the time being, and that will be through the exhibition that we have at the Art Base. And I feel like this is a story that we've come to really love sharing with people. It was a few summers ago. We were backpacking, Molly and I and a couple of other of our friends. And we were headed up to Avalanche Lake and Snowmass Lake. And Molly and I just usually can't stop for flowers when we're on our little jaunts.
And this was like probably early mid-July, if I'm remembering right, and wildflowers were just going off. It was like peak wildflower season, peak wildflower weekend, and it just, we could not have been freaking out more.
Having a panic.
And then I think at one point we looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, I'm panicking. I just feel like I'm panicking.
Oh.
And then we were like, it's the Floral Panic. And we were like, well, actually, that's kind of a cool band name.
I know. And I think right from then we, I feel like Molly and I, since Molly has come to the Valley and we've been working kind of in parallel, having similar kind of motifs in each of our practices, mm-hmm. it felt like a light bulb moment for possibly showing together. And when the Art Base application season came about, it was actually the night before that Molly texted me and was like, wait, this could be Floral Panic.
Aha. It all came together in mm-hmm. that moment. That is a good band name, though. I'm gonna write that down. I have a little list of band names going. But
fair use.
Floral Panic. Well, I'd love to have you each share about your individual artwork processes, your background, but also how do you go from like start to finish? And for those who don't know your style, we can talk about that. I've gotten to visit both of your studio spaces here and there, so I know a tiny bit about how you work and what kind of work you make. but you both have fairly established styles already going into the show. So I'd love to hear about that process once like an idea is in place. Sabrina, you want to start? Sabrina, painter. Molly, ceramic artist, for those listening in.
We can really be reduced to that.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. No, that's a joke. That's a joke. Yeah, I am a painter, and I started as a primarily abstract painter when I was at Colorado College, and I also studied classics at CC and was really interested in ancient Greek language and translation. When I was in grad school at UC San Diego, I fell in love with sapphic poetry, which survives in fragments, which is this very beautiful logic. There are these clear words that survive, and then all of these absences that leave really nice room for projection of narrative. And that logic I found to be very inspiring, and it inspired me to bring a similar kind of ratio of information, very visible, very accessible, and then also having some where there was a little bit more nebulousness, a little bit more opportunity for someone interacting with the work to have their own experience. So that was when I started to bring in some more landscape elements. I still compose my pieces from a very abstract perspective. You know, I really work in service to the painting in terms of composition, color. I'm quite formal in that way. But then I also use elements that feel very familiar, like flowers, clouds, things that you see in nature. And I find these natural elements to be kind of access points into what otherwise would be a pretty abstract composition. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working or have an idea for a piece, it usually starts off like a very high level, undefined idea. I make a sketch that takes about 30 seconds to create with a few elements that I'm thinking about, you know, could be interesting to explore in a particular piece. And then it's sort of unfolds, and I don't feel bound to any kind of real physics, you know, how things sit in space. So they kind of oscillate between feeling quite flat, but then also having atmosphere and depth. So for me, it's about achieving certain ratios of things that feel familiar and accessible, and then also having these moments for your own projection of narrative, to have the experience feel very individual. Yeah, and if you haven't seen my work, it's quite colorful. That's something that comes, I'd say, it's a challenge for me to develop other painting, achieve, I don't know. Color seems to come more naturally to me. So I feel like I can trust my color instinct, and that results in some very vibrant pieces. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, that's the gist.
And I forgot we had a little bike tour for Bonedale Bike Week that visited your studio. So I got kind of, maybe not a preview of this show that's opening tonight, but, you know, more familiar with your style and approach to painting. But and the book, the poetry book of the...
Yes. There is an amazing translation by Anne Carson, and the book is called If Not Winter, which is one fragment by Sappho. And if you're not familiar with Sappho, she's kind of a Homer figure where we attribute a lot of poetry to her, although we can't absolutely be sure that she was the one who wrote it. But if you're interested in Sappho, find me.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Sabrina. Molly, how about you? What's your process like? It's a very different approach because you're in a totally different medium.
Yeah, very different approach. I think I want to kick it off. I liked Sabrina describing a little bit what her work looks like for people that haven't seen it. So for people that aren't familiar with what my work looks like, I make kind of medium to large scale sculptures in ceramics that are really intricate and detailed and entirely monochrome for the most part. They're usually all white because I work in porcelain and I don't typically glaze, even though I'm a ceramic artist. People always look at them and they say, oh my God, they look just like plants. And it's because they are all made out of plants.
Yeah.
They start as an original plant, which I get from around the studio. My studio is in Carbondale, a little bit towards Redstone. Mm-hmm. And then I bring them back to the studio and I dip them in porcelain repeatedly so that when I fire them, the plant part of it burns away. The organic material is burned in the kiln. And the porcelain is left behind is this kind of exterior casting. So I take this kind, I get kind of this like garden of specimens to work with. And then I make these hand-built larger sculptures, and I work in post to reassemble everything to kind of become these sort of ecologies of their own that kind of reflect places that I love. So my background is really, I started in ceramics when I was young. I was probably 14 or 15. I was in high school. And then I went to college at Bennington College and studied ceramics there. And I was always a functional potter. I was always working on the wheel. It's really only in the last like 3 to 4 years that I really completely moved away from that and became much more sculptural in my practice. My work is now almost entirely monochrome, like I was saying. It's all pretty much white because I essentially ditched glaze. And I also have incorporated a little bit of mixed material into my work in the recent years. So ideas for my work, the origin of my work usually, a piece comes from this idea either seasonally, thinking about like how to respond to what's available in a certain season, because I'm only really have access to what's growing at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be in response to a material. So like I'm very obsessed with wool, llama wool, sheep wool. You can see both of those in the show.
Yeah.
I love working with glass, with metals. Looking forward to working with some live dried plants in the future. That kind of thing. So material, including the porcelain, are often driving forces in the works aesthetic.
You had a series, I think, involving light as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear about this show. Have you any like collaborations on any works in this show? I know the mediums are entirely different, so I'm not even sure if that's even possible, but maybe just like some inspirations from each other here and there.
Yeah, I think that we didn't collaborate directly on any particular piece. Like there's no piece in which both of our hands were involved, but mm-hmm. maybe the most collaborative experience of it was assembling the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which we did the other day at the Art Base, and maybe Sabrina, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was so much fun working with Mike De La Rosa at the Art Base.
Yeah, Mike's awesome.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fabulous putting the show together with us. And so I think we were excited to join forces on the show to begin with because our pieces are so different materially and also in color. Mm-hmm. So having the visual contrast and scale in some cases. So having the visual contrast of Molly's monochromatic pieces and then mine, which are quite vibrant on the wall versus in the round in the center of the space, we knew was just going to be so much fun to figure out in real time in physical space. And so we started with hanging my paintings, figuring that out first. And we both kind of had some ideas about how things would fall into place. But what really I think was exciting for us was finessing and noticing similarities or certain directionalities in works that would play off of each other. There's movement that continues from a painting, moves through a sculpture, and then returns to the wall. So there is this interaction. Oh, I just got like chills. Remembering what that was like and excited to see it again tonight. So I think the movement, the energy really flows very fluidly between our pieces, which I think is something that we experience as artists and friends. I think our conversations really exist so consistently and perpetually, and it just feels very organic and alive. And I think that is tangible in how the show came together in the gallery space.
Yeah, it's one thing to have your artworks maybe separate in your studio, or even when you're making the work, you have something in mind. But when it's all coming together in the actual space, there's something that happens. And I understand the chills feeling, you know, coming alive in there. That's so cool. Alyssa, I know you're on the phone, so maybe we'll jump to you. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in the Art Base, and we'll circle back to Sabrina and Molly to wrap up.
Yeah, well, we are so excited for this exhibition and to support and uplift Sabrina and Molly and their practices and show and collaboration. We have a fun event happening on Friday, July 10th. We have been doing a routine art lunch, as we call it, with our exhibiting artists. And this is just a excuse to gather around in the afternoon, come be around artwork. Sabrina and Molly will be there. Bring a bagged lunch if you want or some snacks, but we just hang out, eat, and talk about the work or talk about artwork, whatever really inspires around the potluck idea. So that, again, is Friday, July 10th. That is from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And then tonight, of course, excited for the opening reception. But our gallery is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you cannot make it tonight, we would love for you to stop by any other time and check out the space. We also, really fun, have in our art commons, we're doing an inspired artwork creation in our art commons. So anyone can come into the front of the gallery and make a floral design, fun artwork piece inspired by their exhibition. So, come on into the gallery.
Yeah, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. I love the interactive component you guys have been bringing into that front of the space there. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it one and one for the artists and you know, interactive for the gallery goers. So there's a little connection point.
That's great. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, anything else you want to share coming up at the Art Base?
We do have our Crafternoon starting this Sunday. The Basalt Sunday Market is kicking up for the summer. So if you are in Basalt and wanting to do some market shopping, we host a Crafternoon. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kids and adults can come make crafts. We are located on the back of the town building, I believe by the Jumpy Castle. So Crafternoons are every Sunday now throughout the summer with the market. And then we also have summer camps for kids launching. If your kid is a creative, fun-loving person and maybe they'll exhibit in the future, we have summer camps available and some spots throughout the season. So check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's theartbase.org, is that right, for the website?
That is, yes.
Great. Well, you had me at Jumpy Castle or whatever you said.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll be there. Thank you, Alyssa. We'll see you tonight, and I'll say goodbye to you and have one more question for the artists here. So we'll see you soon at the Art Base.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Sabrina and Molly, I did have one more question. Just working in the future after this show, do you feel like there's any connecting points you've made between your works going forward? I don't know, directly or just like the feeling, you know, you have such different styles, but I just wondered if, you know, any cross-pollinating has been happening between the plant in your painting or the plants in the ceramic world. How does that work when you're working so close together for a while? I assume you've been working on this show for a year or so. So there's got to be a little bit of cross-pollinating in my head.
I'm inclined to respond that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's probably too soon to say. And we're still kind of in the throes of the exciting, like, oh my gosh, it's happening now. Today's the day.
That was my other point. Like, maybe you're not thinking about the future because you have a show tonight. That's in like half an hour.
And I think with stuff like that, sometimes you don't know until afterwards. Sometimes after the fact, you've made something and then you're able to look back on it and think, oh my God, that was totally inspired by that painting that this piece was sitting next to for so long or something like that. So I think that there's a lot of exciting ways that we're going to kind of influence each other without having realized it in this moment.
Yeah, and I think it probably has already happened. I think we spend a lot of time sitting in each other's studio while the other person is working. And so just being kind of immersed in the other's studio environment, I think kind of by osmosis, you know, there's a lot of transfer back and forth. But I'm also someone who thinks that every exhibition is kind of an audition for the next opportunity. So if someone sees our show and thinks, oh my God, they need to be at the Tate, that would be fine.
We're available for that.
For those listening to Express Yourself right now, the Tate is my beyond line. Well, yeah, just let that percolate. How can people learn more about you and your work? Do you have a website or other
Yeah, if people are interested in my ceramic work, they can go to mollyaltman.com, or I'm also on Instagram as molly_alts_.
Perfect.
Same here, sabrinapearsall.com. That's P-I-E-R-S-O-L. And my Instagram handle is weird, but if you look up Sabrina Pearsall, you'll find it. I also just want to, if you don't know me as an artist, you might know me as the assistant director of education at the Aspen Art Museum. I'm so lucky to be able to facilitate lots of education programs that we run there at the museum. And I did just want to plug that tonight is the Pride 9 p.m. I know some friends might be double dipping, and I think it's totally worth it. If you want to go up to Aspen, there will be an amazing show with the Roaring Divas, fun dance party, great DJs, really, really fun things, free event. All you need to do is register. So if you feel like having a super fun night, making your way up Valley.
How late does that go?
That goes until 9 p.m.
Okay. We can make that happen. Be done at 7 and then drive up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. Well, thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Molly. Look forward to your artist talk in 65 minutes.
That has been the theme of the day.
All right. Safe travels, and thanks for being on Express Yourself.
Yeah, thanks so for having us, Brian.
Yeah, good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now we're going from flowers to Mountain Fair, which is like a whole month of flowers coming our way. We are here with Deb Colley, Chief Operations. I love that.
Chief of Operations.
Chops.
And the Chops.
Of the Carbondale Mountain Fair. And what year is this? 55.
This is the 55th.
Yeah.
55th.
Double nickels, baby. All right. And the reason we're here now, we're going to be throughout July. We'll probably have several segments on Mountain Fair. But right now, we've just posted the volunteer slots, and there's a poster artist, and there's so many things happening. Like, all the information is rolling out.
Yeah, starting to just leak its way onto the internet. No, it's not leaking. It's on purpose. It's time. We know things, and we want you to know them. Dear Carbondale and Roaring Fork Valley, Mountain Fair is, in fact, happening.
What are those dates, Deb?
July 24, 25, 26. Ooh. I think we're 6 weeks out. We might be 7 weeks out. I was counting, and then I allowed myself to stop counting. But yeah, we've got lots of things to share. I want to invite anyone who's listening to start to get excited with us.
Well, what are the important things we need to know right now?
Well, it is really important to know that the volunteer signups are live online at carbondalearts.com. You want to go to the Mountain Fair tab at the top and click on volunteers to see those different volunteer jobs. Those are live. And they're filling. And so I want to make sure that everyone who wants to be a part of the fair has a chance to be a part of the fair as a volunteer, because that's our heritage, is how we make the fair happen, right? 55 years of a volunteer.
How many volunteers do you think we've got going these days?
I think overall it's 500 volunteers make the fair.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That is a lot.
That's a lot of volunteers. And, there's a lot of spaces to fill. And also the signups are going well. I think we're probably at like 50%. And normally the signups don't start until, like, people don't really start signing up until July 1st.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the spirit of volunteerism at Mountain Fair. And what it really is, because it's so much more than just volunteering.
Yeah. Well, what aspect of that do you want to dig into? Because there's actually a lot of different ways that the fair is put together through volunteers.
I just feel like it's the heart and soul of the fair is the volunteerism.
Yeah. And there's there's so many different ways that people show up for the fair. There's like the way that people sign up online and do their 4 hours and get their t-shirt, and that's a legitimate and honestly like the most high powered way that we get the fair accomplished is through those folks. And some folks have been doing that year after year. They haven't missed a fair in a long time. It's like the crown jewel of the summer for them, and their volunteer position is something they've been doing for a long time. There's some diehard Peace Patrollers, morning Peace Patrollers. They've been doing Peace Patrol for a long time. Diehard info booth people.
That is true. You know, a lot of the people that have been doing it for a long time, they get in there right away and mm-hmm. get the slots they want. But it also creates community. As a volunteer, you become part of a community.
Yeah, and some of my favorite stories that I have heard over the years from getting to be a part of the fair in the roles that I've played are like, oh, I had just moved to town and it was the weekend of Mountain Fair and I went to the fair and I just decided to sign up to volunteer, and now the people that I met at the fair are like my community and my family. So I've heard that story, that version of that story over and over again, and I think it's really true. Or that people came to the fair, they volunteered, and then they were just visiting.
And then got married and had babies.
No. Yeah, no. That I'm sure that one is out there. Someone call in and tell us their story. No, but I think April Crow Spalding? She like came to the fair and then she was like, I'm going to move here. This is my place. And she did.
Yeah. No, that is true of a lot of people. I think they come on that weekend and then.
Yeah. But it's true. Like when you volunteer, you meet people, you're like, they're kind of wild jobs. Like you really do have the opportunity. You don't just get told what to do. You really get your hands dirty and you meet a lot of people, and it is the core of who we are really in Carbondale. I've been having a saying like recently, can I share it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes from like the spirit of the fair and volunteerism at the fair. Like Carbondale doesn't do saviors. We don't do like, there's no martyrs. Like there's not a single person that we follow to do stuff. We do it together. And that's the spirit of the fair. Like we do it together. We throw a party for ourselves together. And
we do fun stuff together.
We do fun stuff together.
Well, it's true. And it's also like third generation families start out volunteering and then have a child, and then that child starts volunteering, and now mm-hmm. that child has a child and they're volunteering. And when I was head of Carbondale Arts, these other towns up and down the valley would call and say, how can we be more like Carbondale? And I was like, well, you have to be like yourself. You can't really be like Carbondale. But I would always say, like, what makes Carbondale different? Like, why is everyone so engaged and really jumps in and makes things happen? And the only thing I could come up with is that we have Mountain Fair, and it has been going 55 years, and that ethos is so instilled in mm-hmm. people that live here, and it's passed on generation to generation.
Yeah, like, oh, I gotta make sure I sign up and do my volunteer job. I mean, there's other ways to be part of the fair for sure, but the volunteering is this core piece, and it's also like how we belong to each other mm-hmm. at the fair. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. we had this
really sweet gathering maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago with like the Legends of Mountain Fair.
Yeah, Legends of Mountain Fair,
and that was a really kind of eye-opening experience because I haven't really hung out in the room with that many people that have been part mm-hmm. of the fair since the beginning. And I can't remember how many people raised their hands and said they've been there since, like, they've been to the first Mountain Fair, or they've been there, you know, the past 50 years or whatever. And to feel that energy in the room and, like, the respect that people have for that kind of, quote-unquote, institution of Mountain Fair is really moving. And it's kind of a magical thing to get to be a part of when you don't understand what it is when you walk in, like when my first year was in 2010, I think, when I moved here and had no idea what Mountain Fair was, but you could feel it. It's something special and different than other festivals I've been to.
Well, I'm sure after that, Deb was like, Could I get the old security team back?
No, actually, no. I did learn a lot about some other things that the fair was run on back in the day. Not just that volunteer spirit. But
yeah, there's some good stories. Sure.
There's some good stories. Yeah. But I do actually love that the it wasn't the green team at the time. It's had so many silly names. Actually, now I feel terrible because I can't remember any of the names, but they were like really grungy. But that there was like this tradition of kids running around with coffee cans around their neck and they'd
be, pick up cigarette butts.
And glass, like a piece of glass, I think.
We have come such a long way. And like the fair has shaped some of our like shared values too, like our shared values around like waste, and our green team is a big deal, but also just like authenticity and creative expression and showing up and being yourself, that is expressed through the volunteers that come too. And yeah,
and I think Deb, you could probably speak to this because it is magical. It's like and Brian, you too, you're in the office and you're working towards this fair, and it's at that point pretty much insular, the office, the staff doing the work. And then all of a sudden, it's the week of Mountain Fair.
Oh, man.
And people just start showing up and things just start happening. And it's like at that point, it's released to the community and the people that are showing up, and they make it happen. And it's just an incredible experience.
It is really wild.
Yeah.
And Amy, you know, because 19 years of doing this thing, like on Wednesday morning when we first meet with the first crews in the morning at 7 a.m. or whatever time it is, like there's this feeling, this like sort of like special buzz about what, and it's almost like, Not to be too existential or make it more spiritual than maybe it is. It feels like we're doing this ceremony when we all start working on Wednesday. We like everyone hugs each other. You haven't seen each other. Some of these people I haven't seen in a year.
It is kind of a ritual when you think about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Eat our burrito from Dos Gringos. Thank you, Dos Gringos. Drink our coffee and then like, you know,
boom,
get to work. And then it's what's even what. So that day is like this core team that does it. And it's people that I honestly rarely see them many times throughout the year, but they're there. We're a crew. It's moving. And then on Thursday, there's so many random, wonderful human beings that come and almost to the point where like, you're asking for a job and I'm not sure I know. I bet if you keep looking, you'll find something. And what do you know that people sure do?
And then another thing that I notice happens, like June hits and all of a sudden you're walking down the street and everyone you see has some Mountain Fair shirt on, like different year, whatever year. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody pulls out their collection of Mountain Fair shirts when summer hits. And this year, we have a new design.
Yeah.
And we don't have the artist here today, but tell us a little bit about the design.
Yeah, so I love this design.
Mm-hmm.
It's by an artist named Rowan Brown. She's actually not from the Valley, but she's friends with folks who live here, and she's, you know, she knew about the contest and entered her work. And it really stood out, and it's interesting because currently also it's she's a tattoo artist. We've had tattoo artists submit and win before, so it's not like this is a brand new thing that's never happened before. I mean, in 55 years that there's definitely been a tattoo artist who's won.
And she's kind of responding to the theme.
Yeah,
of
the theme.
The fair this year.
And the theme.
Let's talk about the theme.
The theme is in the 55th year is Camp Bonedale, which is a nod to like this moniker Camp Bonedale that came up. I think it's a 80s early late 70s mm-hmm. early 80s thing.
Early 80s, yeah.
That developed at Mountain Fair. Camp Bonedale, there was a sign made. It was like the place, as I understand it, because I wasn't there. It was a place where, like, you'd be like, okay, we're going to meet up. We're going to reunite at Camp Bonedale. And so you'd find your people at Camp Bonedale.
That's right. They'd be out in the audience, and they'd have the sign there. And then you'd know that's where you could go.
Yeah, Camp Bonedale. But so that's the theme for this year. Obviously, we the theme can be a little bit campy too, because Mountain Fair is like summer camp for all of us in our hometown. And so she was responding to the theme, and I don't know, it's just it's so playful and fun, and it kind of like, even though the theme is camp, she like picked up on our sort of like circus, our own personal like mm-hmm. circusy expression of ourselves. And there's a tug of love.
It's actually a tug of love.
And I did get confirmation mm-hmm. that we're going to aim to do tug of war with police and fire this year. If all goes well with police and fire, we'll have tug of war back. But it's a great design. It's very bright and vibrant, and it leans into some of the styles that we've seen in the past, but it's unique. It really is its own.
It is unique.
If you haven't seen it, it's on social media, and it will be soon circulating as a poster that has a QR code on it to sign up to volunteer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very colorful. I like mm-hmm. the final rendition of it.
Yeah.
And the sun dominates it.
Oh, yes.
Which is really nice.
I'm forgetting about the full. Yes, it's got like this big happy sun in the middle, and like we kind of maybe need to like have a positive relationship with our sun right now.
Mm-hmm.
So our big bright ball of fire in the sky. So I love that it's a friendly smiling sun, and she did end up adding a Sopris in there because Sopris is beloved to us. So Sopris is in there, and like a little carnival circus,
but it's different because it's not as dominant as the sun, and I really like that.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a change. Well, on the subject of the theme, can we get a little deeper? I mean, are you like head counselor?
It's my dream.
What are some of the things? I mean, we have some costume.
You need like a ranger
ideas.
Hat.
Yeah, we do have some costume ideas.
I mean, I know Sunday is tie dye.
So we were like, what is like if Camp Carbondale had a dress code that you had to show up to every day, or if it had Camp Craft that everyone loved the most, it would be tie day. So
right.
Sunday is tie day, and also Sunday's a day everyone kind of needs an easier costume theme to lean into, just depending on where you're at in your in your party journey,
mm-hmm.
your fiesta
mm-hmm.
journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you're asking this question, and I might have to reference.
Trying to remember too. We'll have to see.
One of them was like Camp Crafts. Or something. Like lean into like popsicle sticks, and I'm not sure how that works into a costume.
Macrame.
Yeah, I mean, like wear your macaroni necklaces, people.
Yeah.
I want to see your dyed feather earrings and your macrame, and I mean tie dye. You can just keep wearing tie dye all weekend.
True.
Some people do. Sometimes they only wear one.
All weekend.
All weekend.
I've seen it. I don't want to say names, but someone is coming to mind.
And the set, the stage is always decorated in the theme of the theme. So I guess in the theme of the theme. And I've seen a few little hints there, and it's looking really fun.
Yeah. Ooh, we might have more to share. Wait, I can finish. You can tell I'm getting excited though, right? Okay. Friday is Camp Crafts, and I'm going to read you the description that can help you know what to do here. Okay. Make a costume inspired by classic camp crafts, stick crowns, hand and leaf paintings. I don't really know how you wear that, but you could figure it out. Friendship bracelets, painted rocks that you can just bring and give.
Nice.
Nature weavings. I feel like macrame is the way in.
Yeah, as macaroni, far as clothing,
And I think you can always, what if you wore like macaroni fringe something?
Could like be a little.
Yeah.
Rough.
It's
at
hard
because
when you get sweaty, that pasta might just
might start boiling.
Ew.
Get a little soft.
Okay. Maybe don't lead into that.
And Saturday?
Saturday is Camp Couture, and that's where
we're doing
a little wink and a nod to Troop Beverly Hills meets Moonlight Kingdom. The aesthetic is sashes, vests, khaki, cargo, but make it fashion. I say make it Freaky Mountain Fair vibes.
Exactly. So I will not be in khaki.
Do you own any khaki?
I don't think so.
What about just like a vest?
Oh, don't worry. I'll come up with something.
Okay. I'm not worried about you at all. And then Sunday is tie-dye, the obvious uniform for Camp Carbondale. The only question is, how much tie-dye is too much tie-dye? No, that's not even a question. They're in Carbondale. So.
Well, we will be going on throughout the month because there's things like competitions and vendors and
the music
and the Oasis and so much. Mm-hmm. So we hopefully will have you back along with some others. But if people want to sign up, where do they do that?
You can sign up at carbondalearts.com and you go to the Mountain Fair tab and down to volunteers. Still plenty of spots. Do not hesitate to sign up to volunteer. You can also see if you're like one of those people that wants to know what the entertainment schedule is. The entertainment schedule for the main stage and the Oasis stage are there. And trust me, you want to look at the Oasis stage schedule also because there's some really great regional acts. And, of course, the main stage has got a lot of great acts, too, always. So, yeah, that's
so here
where
we
you're going
to
go.
Folks, don't wait. And awesome. I challenge all of you out there, if you are new to town, and I think there's a lot of new people. I see a lot of new faces.
And, I do, too.
And if you have never volunteered for Mountain Fair, now's your time to step up and become part of the community and get involved.
Yeah. I'll be back. We can talk more. Thank you for having me this early.
All right.
Summer.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks, Deb. We're going to play a little Wild Flight because we have them coming up next. Whee! Stay tuned. You're on Katie and Kay.
I'm going to go downtown. I've got to fool around. Take a stroll around town. Gonna lay my money down. My luck is gonna change before they put me in the ground. I'm gonna shake things up down in deep Ellum Town. Well, I might be down, but I ain't out of the fight. And I've been knocked around, but I'm trying with all my might. Don't give up on me, baby, 'cause you know I'll treat you right. Deep in them, baby. Deep in them all night. I was born with thin blood, and I'm a red hot mess. That's a long story. You can guess the rest. When the man he smiles, see his go-to shine.
That was a little taste for you guys about the band Wild Flight. They've got an event coming up next Thursday at the Crystal Theater. Crystaltheater.com, I think, is the website. Maybe it's .org.
Crystaltheatercarbondale.com.
Thank you.
Oh, throw the town in there.
Should have had that
my
notes. Well, let's see. Thank you for joining us, Emily Jurek and Eric Gross of Wild Flight. Before we dive into your event coming up next Thursday, I'd love to hear about both of your music backgrounds and how this band, Wild Flight, kind of got started. Have you both been writing and playing music for a long time?
You should start, Eric. He's got a storied past.
Okay.
Well, I took lessons as a kid, classical piano lessons, and learned enough to be able to start to piece together some ideas, and started to write when I was 17.
Wow.
Went to music college in Boston and met a bunch of players there and hit the road for 8 years. Wrote 4 or 5 songs that we do now, back then. One of them is Home is Just a Memory, which was the local song of the year here.
And
the Dinky Awards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we won a Dinky.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Which we're really happy about.
Yeah.
And then took a hiatus from music for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Moved here in 1995, so 31 years here. And I joined a cover band called Poser. It was a great cover band that played the whole valley, and Emily was in that band. So we met, and we started to listen to how we sang together. And we also wanted to do some writing and create a whole other set of new songs. And that's 6 years ago how it started.
Okay, six years ago. Yeah. Awesome.
And COVID hit right then. So we did a lot more writing than we did performing.
Performing, yeah.
And then recording. So.
Right. Wow, perfect timing, I guess, to have that downtime, quote unquote, to make that happen. Yeah. How about you, Emily?
Our partnership grew then.
Yeah.
Well, I was born and raised in the upper end of the valley, and my dad was a music lover. Both my parents were, but my dad played guitar. And so I remember when I was really young, he would be playing, usually with records, people like, Glenn Campbell and Doc Watson and, and a lot of the older country players too. We would sing along. So, and then as I grew, I sang in church choirs. I sang in the choirs in school and in musicals and things, but I don't have any formal music training. My former partner and I had a jam at our house for years. So, we lived up in Missouri Heights. He still does, but people would come every Tuesday night. And so I met a lot of musicians there and finally got up the courage to step up to the mic one time. and then there's no turning back. And, just meeting Eric was really, the timing was amazing. I had put it out there to the universe that I wanted to meet a songwriter who would let me sing their songs.
Oh, cool.
I didn't really know what was a songwriter.
Yeah.
And so he brought that out in me, and we've collaborated ever since.
Do you write songs as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was kind of my next question. How would you say you work together on these songs when you're recording or, coming up with the idea? What's your collaboration style like? Can you tell who's writing what song based on lyrics or where it's going?
Usually it's lyrics first.
Uh-huh.
We have a big folder of ideas.
I love that.
And Emily's a particularly good writer, and she has good emotional ideas and good storytelling ideas. And part of our weekly work is to see what's in the folder and put more things in the folder. And the folder's getting way bigger than our output.
Yeah.
but the song that you just played is a collaboration with another songwriter here in the Valley who spends time in Texas, and he started the lyrics to Deep Ellum, which is a neighborhood in Dallas.
Right.
And then the three of us finished the lyrics, and I wrote the music. So
cool.
Now we're kind of expanding our writing group a little bit.
Yeah.
And that man's name is Bart Turner.
Okay.
Who co-wrote Deep Ellum Baby. And we're finishing, we hope, soon, the next few weeks, a full-length album.
Oh, wow.
And there's another song on there that Bart co-wrote.
Two more
that he co-wrote. So,
and he's going to be at Townline Trucks on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Performing with Jamie Dooley. So,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're starting a songwriter series over there on Sunday afternoons.
Townline Trucks has got it going on.
Yeah.
If you haven't been over there, I think they're having live music or something like
that.
We
were just played there Friday night.
Oh, yeah, really?
For First Friday.
It was really fun.
It was a real scene.
That was probably a party.
We didn't know what to expect, but it went really well.
That's so cool.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your event at the Crystal Theater coming next Thursday. You're playing live with your band.
Yes.
Which is, I love how you call that the full flight on your website. Sometimes you play just the two of you for like more quiet settings, but then you have a full band behind you. And then you have a music video as well. How'd that all come together?
So the video, the song we recorded in 2024 at Coolbrook Studios. It's a really interesting song because it started with a visual that Eric kind of picked up when he was driving of down by Newcastle. When you're on I-70, you're on the road, the railway's over here and the river's down there.
Yeah.
The song is called Road River Railway. And then it's interesting how that song evolved because I grew up in Emma, and before the highway went through there, we would walk to town cross the railroad tracks. Wow. We walked on the tracks sometimes, but there were the old Emma buildings were in despair, you know, in disrepair then, and so was the house. And visuals from that went into the song.
Mm-hmm.
But the story evolved. We recorded the song, and then we'd been thinking of ideas for the video for a couple of years, and it took a long time to make because it's a combination of videos with a couple of actors and a lot of still photography built in. So it's kind of a flashback thing.
Oh, cool.
It's beautiful.
So it is kind of like a film in itself,
yes.
Not just like the band playing. Sometimes music videos are just of the band, but you've got...
No, it's mostly
it's a story.
A story.
Oh, cool.
The actors playing out the story and some drone footage across areas that look like where we first saw the vision.
Yeah.
And all of the players on the session are Roaring Fork players. And so we thought, because it was recorded here at Cool Brick and we're from here, and all the players are from here, if we could find a place to debut it here, that actually where you can put a movie on a screen and it looks good.
Yeah.
So we checked in at the theater to see, and lo and behold, the great people there are beginning to want to have events like this. So we're doing a collaboration with them.
No, that's awesome timing. Yeah. Will Grimbois and Kate Schwerin have been amazing with the new kind of nonprofit alliance that they've been building over the past almost year. I guess it's 9 months or so. But yeah, that's perfect timing.
I was in here on Tuesday with them talking on air a little bit.
That's so great. Yeah, hopefully we'll get a good crowd for you. So we'll have like some live music from the band and then watch the music video.
And then another set of music.
Okay, great.
And then we're going to have signature cocktails. And
an old-fashioned, because that is on theme. And then some summer drink. I'm working up a name for it, a new something. I haven't come up with it yet. New bohemian something or another.
Bohemian.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And you have tickets online, or are they just at the door?
Online. So you can get them right now at crystaltheatercarbondale.com or on our website. I put a button right on the front, on the homepage.
Good.
Our website is wildflightmusic.com.
Okay. Perfect.
And people should know too that, large portion of the proceeds go to the Crystal Theater Alliance from ticket sales, and then all of the proceeds from the concession sales. So we're supporting this nonprofit this way too, and it's the first live music there in I think something like 40 or 50 years.
I think you're right.
So
yeah.
It's exciting.
Have you kind of figured out where the band's going to be? Can you be on the stage, or is it like a down towards the seating area?
We're going to be in the orchestra pit.
Orchestra pit. like that. They need to build an orchestra pit there. That'd be awesome. Live music for the video. That'd be a kind of cool thing.
Well, it would be.
If you had the video like that. Well, that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. You said the website. Is there another way you can learn about your music project, Wild Flight?
Yes, we have 5 albums on all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
YouTube, Spotify.
iTunes, We prefer Spotify because we get lots of good information.
Sure, yeah.
From that, but it's available everywhere.
And we are, Emily mentioned, we're just finishing now to begin and mix and master a full-length album that we've been working on for a year.
Yeah.
So
what's that going to be titled? Do you have a title for it yet?
More Bird.
More Bird?
More Bird, yeah.
Perfect.
We just stumbled on the Charlie Parker section in there of albums, too. I'm like, oh, my God, he might have a More Bird album. But now there's a story behind that, too. We'll tell you that one when the album comes out.
I love that.
Have us back on air.
Who are you collaborating with on the album? I know you have kind of a set group of folks that have played with you on guitar and some percussion. Who are those folks?
Well, we have Sage Vickers, who's one of the drummers. And Rob Labick, these are Grand Junction folks.
Okay.
Also one of the drummers, and some of them are on the kit for some songs, and they kind of switch off, and then Rob does percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar, we have a few different people working there. Kellen Michaels, our main guitarist, and he's on the project. He'll be here on Thursday. He's a tremendous guitar player.
Phenomenal.
Are all these people going to be joining you on Thursday, or is it different?
Yes.
Most of them. Sometimes we go with 6 pieces. This time we're going to have 5.
Okay.
And Bill Richin is a highly accomplished bass player. He met Eric about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and he's become a really important part of our band. He was kind of like the glue that really took us to another level.
Wow.
He's an amazing musician, yeah. So.
Yeah.
He played with San Francisco Symphony for 38 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, a jazz ensemble in the Bay Area for 25 of those. Wow. So,
you're really lucky to be able to collaborate with these kind of talented people.
It's always cool kind of finding those people to collaborate with and then making that happen on a regular basis. Way to go.
I feel very lucky.
You guys sound really solid on these tracks. So excited. That'll be a pretty full sound in the theater, too. So
it will be. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then just another thing I would like to mention is we've made half a dozen videos, too. The filmmaker who worked on Road River Railway has, she and her crew have made all of our videos, including submissions to the Tiny Desk Contest, which is fun.
Yeah.
And she does all our still photography. Her name is Gonzalez, and her company is Fates Media. She'll be there on Thursday, but it's worth going to our YouTube video channel just to see the fun Tiny Desk concerts and some of the other ones that we've made.
Is that on your website as well, or is that kind of just
there's
searchable?
A link. Okay. Nope, there's links on the website to to all of these things.
So. We have a YouTube channel. And
way to go.
So they're all piled up in there.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, save the date the next Thursday at the Crystal Theater. What is it?
June 18th. Yeah, June 18th? 7 o'clock.
Seven to nine. Yeah, okay. Doors open at 6:30. So you can come and have your cocktails.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Wait, I'm impressed.
Brian, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Emily Jurek, Eric Gross from Wild Flight. Go check out their website and thanks for joining us on Express Yourself. We're going to take it back to almost NPR in like 20 seconds, but
thank you.
Happy Friday, everybody.